The next Indian that we want to explore in our discussion of the issues of Shemitah is the issue of the peiros of Shemitah. We're going to discuss now less the halachas of what one is or isn't allowed to do as far as working the soil of Eretz Yisrael is concerned, the Surei Melacha of Shviyas. More we're going to concentrate on the halachas of the peiros of Eretz Yisrael. Truth to be told, what's interesting is that even though the Melachos of Shviyas are in Parshas Bahar, and the halacha of Lo'ochlo, which we're going to discuss now in terms of that there are limitations on how the peiros of Shviyas are allowed to be used and for what they can be used, but the first step in the halachas of peiros Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael actually have their source in the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. The Pasuk says over there, towards the end of Parshas Mishpatim, Vashmiyis, Sheishanim Tizras Atzecho, Vosaftas Tvuaso. The Torah then doesn't say on the seventh day it's also. It just says, Vashmiyis, Tishmiteno Unitash, the one has to be Mafkir. The same Lashon of Shemitah, which the Torah uses on getting rid of Chayvois, Tishmiteno Unitash, the one has to abandon his field. Va'ochlu Avyoni Amecho, V'yisrum Teicha Chayis Asod. It should be eaten by anybody, it should be eaten by any. By the poor people, the yisum, the leftovers, offer the chayis asod. Came tasa, lecham lecho lezeisecho. Pasuk is quite clear. The first step in after working the field for 6 years is the fact that now the field is to be hefker. Not that the land is hefker, but that the peiros of Eretz Yisrael ought to be hefker, and therefore the Torah says it could be eaten by anybody, and the leftovers have to be left for the Chayis HaSodah, which we'll see also in the Psukim and Parshas Bahar, also have implications, because the Torah defines in the beginning of the Parsha, V'hoyseh Shabbos Haaretz Lachem L'Ochlo. Okay, you could eat it. Maybe that's only an illustration of one thing. The Torah says, who eats it? L'cho, L'avdecho, L'amosecho, anybody? Then the Torah says, V'levhemtecho, L'chaya, Asher Baratzecho, what does the Torah mean by saying that the food should be left over for the animals? We're dictating kosher food, what animals are allowed to eat or not allowed to eat. So Chazal understand that there's a common theme running through the eating that's done by the owner of the field or anybody around him, as the Pasuk delineates, and Chayis HaSodah, which we'll get to in a minute. So we have the Hefker of the Peiros. That brings with it a discussion, which we're not going to learn extensively the Maran Mekaymis, but it's grounds for a whole sugya unto itself, the sugya of Shomur V'Nevad. Shomur V'Nevad refers to, we'll discuss first, Nevad, a ground that was worked on Shemitah, Shaloi Ka'alocha, and the peiros that are resultant of working the ground during Shemitah is called Nevad. They're the product of Nevad. Shomur means fruits that should be hefker, they should be left open for anybody, and instead they were taken in as produce that one is allowed to keep. They're both osur. Are they osur lamafreya? Are they not lamafreya? Are they osur? Are they osur midaraisa? Are they osur midarabanan? There's discussion about whether they're osur or not. In any case, but there's certainly an isur for one not to be mafke the fruit. There's also a discussion, a famous discussion, between the Beis Yosef and the Mabit, whether the peiros of the field are hefker by themselves, or whether one is mechuyiv to be mafkir them. According to the Mabit, it's an afkaita de malko. The Torah was mafkir ownership on peiros that have kedusha shvias. The Mabit says no. The Mabit, the Beis Yosef said the one is mechuyiv to be mafkir. The Beis Yosef goes so far as to say that if the owner is mevatel lemitzvah say and he's not mafkir, then the peiros still belong to the owner. A very, very basic fallout from that is that according to the Beis Yosef, there's nothing inherently different about peiros of Eretz Yisrael during Shemitah as a different year than mechuyiv and trumas and maisvus. The Mabit explains that the reason why peiros of Shviyas are not mechuyiv and trumas and maisvus, that it's mevur in many places in Shas, is because inherently they have no ownership. Hefker is not shayich to Trumas and Maisis. Beis Yosef will understand that it's only if you're mafkir, then they're not mechuyiv in Trumas and Maisis. But if you're not, then they're tevel, they're mechuyiv afroshes Trumas and Maisis like any other produce. The nafkamina of that is also what do you do with peiros of goyim. Do we say that fruit that has Kedusha Shvi'is, the produce of the soil of Eretz Yisrael during Shemitah, inherently has no ownership, is not Shaykh Be'etzem to Trumas and Maizris? Or do we say no, it has nothing to do inherently with the Paris himself, it has to do with Jewish-owned produce, Yom Mukhoyiv to be Mafker. The guy is not Mukhoyiv to be Mafker, they are Mukhoyiv and Trumas and Maizris. Those are all sub-discussions of the existential Shiloh, whether it's an automatic process or whether the owner is Mukhoyiv to be Mafker. That's one noise. The second noise, like we said, La'ochlo, is that eating means, and here's the Gemara explaining what the dimyan is between eating of the owner and the chayis ha'sada, they can only be eaten insofar that the peiros are also available chayis ha'aretz. Meaning, normally, fruits, take peaches. Peaches grow on a tree. I don't know if this is accurate or not, but let's say the picking season, the ripening and the picking season of peaches is in August. The natural place for fruit to be until August is in the field. They're then in the field, they then fall off the tree, you take them off, they're put in baskets, whatever it is. Thereafter, in October, where are you going to find peaches? Not in the field. The only place you'll find peaches is in private possession of individuals. Either in somebody's refrigerator, or in somebody's storeroom, or in somebody's, or cut up and preserved for the winter in somebody's cellar. But the fruit of the land after the end of the production season will only be available for eating in the sense of it being an expression of private ownership. Chaya Sasode tells us that the fruit of Eretz Yisrael have to be eaten without the trappings of ownership. You can own the peiros, but they have to be eaten in a way where ki'ilu nobody owns it. What does that mean? What Chazal understand, it's an exquisite Chazal pulling this out from their understanding, is that not that the peiros of Eretz Yisrael become osur after the time that they're not in the field, but what becomes osur is any expression of ownership, you have to be mafke the peiros. Some Rishonim actually hold that beer means destruction. You have to be mevayer, like beer chametz. Many Rishonim, we paskin, that you don't have to be mevayer fruits, but you have to get rid of the trappings of ownership. You have to be mafker them. Be mafker them in front of three people, a proper hefker. The same way, a halachically viable hefker, the way Chazal have it, is in front of three people. And that's what people do. When they have peiros of Eretz Yisrael, they have a box of bottles of wine of Shemitah produce, when it comes to Shas HaBir, when it comes to that point in time, when holding on to it is no longer in the field, no longer natural, but it's now an expression of ownership, Kol Zeh Nichnas, it's L'Ochlo, you have to be Mafkrit. If you're not Mafkrit, Pashtus, it's Shomer, and so on, the same thing that we just discussed. That's the Halacha of Shas HaBir. Until then, the same idea tells us that la'ochlo v'loy l'schayra. La'ochlo, it has to be used for eating. The Torah says, eat kizuntayit. Anybody's allowed to eat. Tev yoyne amecho. But if it's used as merchandise, as something to buy and sell in a business, so what you're doing is you're using that. It's not kili kol ha'aretz. It's you owning the product of the aretz. Thus tarnish zayin. That's not the way it's supposed to be during Shvi'is. So the Torah dashens la'ochlo v'loy l'schayra. That being said, how does one shop in a grocery store on Shemitah? Fruits that have, let's say we'll assume, we discussed in the previous segment, whether peiros of Goyim, peiros of Nochum, have Kedusha Shemitah. If they do, and you're buying that type of produce in a grocery store, you can't buy it in the regular sense of just pay money for it. You have to buy it with what's called havlo. Havlo means like this. You picture yourself walking into a grocery store. There's a bag of apples that you want. They have Kedusha Shvi'is. They have Kedusha Shvi'is. Now, how a grocery got apples that have Kedusha Shvi'is, l'chayra, nobody could harvest it and hold on to it. L'chayra, the stuff is hefker. It has to be given to anybody. How could somebody harvest it and use it for profit? But let's say somebody has a private person, and he wants to sell me a bag of apples. He can't sell me a bag of apples as produce for which you turn a profit. You know what he has to do? He has to sell me something else.
and he'll up the price of that. We'll make up that I'm paying him more for that other thing. And then you could he'll throw in the bag of apples for free, so to speak. That's called havlot. You're being mavli. You're swallowing up the apples with something that doesn't have kedusha shvi'is. Go into a grocery store. If you have peris of nochrim, and that's how it got there, because the Arabs are allowed to sell their produce. They don't have the problem with shom v'nevah. They sold their produce to the wholesaler who sold it to the store. If you want to be machmir that peris nochrim have kedusha shvi'is, you have to buy b'havloh. You're going to buy a bag of chocolate chip cookies. He'll throw in the bag of peppers. How to set that up? Every grocery in Eretz Yisrael in a Haredi neighborhood knows what the stratagems are for this in a practical way. The idea behind this is that you're not using the peris nochrim, the peris shvi'is, as buy and sell, as the merchandise. There's two problems, by the way. There's the problem of using them for merchandise. There's also the problem that any money that's exchanged for the merchandise, it's nitva, since it was used as an exchange for something with kedusha shvi'is. The money itself now has kedusha shvi'is. The money also could only be used la'achla. Lachla, by the way, imposes other limitations. You could use the apple, you can only eat it in the regular way. You can't throw it out. The peels are sort of like Seamus. You have to put them, they have to be not royal achila before they're thrown out because they have kedusha. You have to treat them with respect. It's a whole avoida which is makiv every part and parcel of your world when you have the schus of living in Eretz Yisrael and participating in the kiyum of Shemitah. Where this plays itself out in real time is with the Lulav and Esrog. And this is where this kicks into the sugya. The sugya in Sukkah Daf Lamed Tes talks about buying an Esrog that has Kedusha Shvi'is. An Esrog is a fruit. Now, which year an Esrog that's picked, Aser Yisimei Tshuva, of this year? This year, by the time we get to Aser Yisimei Tshuva, is going to be a Shemitah. It's going to be Tavshin Pei Beis. But the Esrog actually grew in Tavshin Pei Aleph. Do we count the fruit in terms of is it shvius or is it shishis or is it shminis in terms of when it grew, in terms of when it's picked? That's a discussion unto its own, which we're not going to get into now. A complicated discussion. Sugya and Kedushin Daf Beis, Sugya and Sukkah Daf Mem, all Sugya. But let's say the Esrog has Kedusha Shvius. A Lulav does not. Why not? Because a Lulav is not a pre. The Gemara actually makes reference to Lulavim, yes, having a din of Kedusha Shvi'is. That's because they used to use Lulavim as brooms. Today, most people don't sweep their floor with a Lulav. A Lulav is not more than a piece of wood. A very pricey piece of wood a few weeks before Sukkot, but nevertheless a piece of wood. Not really more than that. So a Lulav doesn't have Kedusha Shvi'is, and Esrog does. You have to be mavliya, the kedusha shvius of the esrog, buying the lulav. You'll have to charge three times more for the lulav to include the price of the esrog with it. Havlo works to take care of the problem of schoiru. We'll bring him here, Hashem, Mara Mekoymis, that there might be a minority opinion that holds not that way, but lamaisa we paskin that havlo works for works to take care of the problem of schoiru, not only for the problem of Toifeses domel, that the money that's exchanged for produce with Kedusha Shvi'is becomes Kodesh with Kedusha Shvi'is. That's another noise. Now, one last point that's worth discussing, I'm sure everybody's wondering, where and how, if the Torah says that the fruits have to be left out, obviously nobody is going to invest, no farmer, even the fruits that grow on the trees, vegetables have to be planted. And if you can't plant during Shemitah, they won't grow. Stuff that grows by themselves are called svichim. There's a whole set of limitations and impositions on how one uses svichim. That's a separate discussion. But fruit-bearing trees. Every year, the peaches come out, the apples come out, the grapes grow. Right? The stuff is there. Do you have to let it sit on the tree and rot? No. V'ochlu, you're allowed to eat it. Of course, you have to eat it. You have to eat it in the optimal way. You have to eat it in the proper way. You have to get rid of dispose of the peels and the leftover fruit. You know, your kid goes to kindergarten in the morning. You're hoping, of course, like we all do, that your kid eats a healthy snack. And of course, he doesn't want to. He comes home with the apples. You can't just throw them in the garbage. They have to be taken care of. They have to be left until they rot in order that they're not le'ochla anymore and so on and so forth. Good. The stuff is left out. Who is investing in harvesting? Who's going to pick the stuff from the fruit? Who's going to distribute it? Most people, even if they have Yoni Amech, and the Torah wants them to be able to pick from fields, in today's world, most people who are living in cities don't have access or the know-how where and how to get the fruit. So the fruit's just going to rot. So we have an institution, which the Chaznish advocated for, and today in itself is a very well set up system. It's called Oitzer Bezdin. Tosefta makes reference that, of course, Bezdin in Eretz Yisrael, Sanhedrin, in their capacity as overseeing the public good, didn't want the fruits of the field to go to just rot on, to become overripe and rot on the vine, on the tree. It's not good for the trees, it's not good for Eretz Yisrael, it's not good for the people. The Torah wants the people to eat the produce. They would harvest the fruit, they would hire workers, they would harvest the fruit, they would put them in storehouses, and they would distribute it. Not for profit, but overseeing for the public benefit. That's not a violation of Hilchos Shemitah, because the Bezdin is doing it as Klal Yisrael, as representative of Klal Yisrael. They're not doing it in the sense of private ownership. And they charge a minimal amount. They have in every town, in Yerushalayim, Bnei Brak, all over. There are places, there are distribution points. You pick up Oitzer Bezdin wine, grapes, fruit. You pay much less because all you're paying for really is the production, is the harvesting costs. You're not paying for profit. They're not allowed to take a profit. They do it literally only to pay the workers and to recoup recoup whatever had to be invested in the transportation and so on and so forth. That institution is known as Oitzer Bezdin. That's a lifesaver. That's the way most people have fruit to eat that have Kedusha Shviz. Now again, like we said, there comes a point, and they put out calendars with every date, clearly every type of fruit, clearly saying what the Shas Habir is. When that fruit no longer is available, except as an expression of private ownership, and that point becomes the Shas Habir, you have to be mafkir. We pass like the Rishonim that beer means being mafkir. Be mafkir in front of three people, and then you're allowed to take it back. We'll point out one interesting idea. Like we said, the fruit or the wine that has Kedusha Shviz cannot be used in a way that's destructive. It has to be used in a way that's le'ochlo. So they say, let's say, to spill out a little bit wine that has Kedusha Shviz and to put out the Havdalah candle, you're ruining the wine. You're not allowed to do that. You can't spill out, you can't throw out the wine that drips onto the cup. You have to drink that wine. So you can't hold Havdalah, you can't hold Havdalah candle on top of the wine. Or you can't put your finger in it, spill a little bit out by the Seder. You have to use wine that's not Kedusha Shviz. All sorts of fascinating halachas. We're just pointing out there's a whole mindset that goes into how one eats Kedusha Shviz. It's a celebration of living in Eretz Yisrael and Lechem Mipil V'Lizbayim and Tuva. It's not an expression of ownership and possession. Kili Kol Aretz, that's what Shviz is. Mitzvah Hashem, we should have the Schia, all of us, to to live in the soil, the heilige soil of Eretz Yisrael, and to lechol mipiv lizbeim tuva unvarecha olel b'kedusha v'tahara.